Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. So the Gemara begins the very top line. The Gemara have been discussing the amount of how much the seh should be worth, or the if you're poda b'shave, the value. So the Gemara concludes in the top line of Yud Aleph. Amar of Nachman halacha kedivrei chachamim. We passing like the shita of the chachamim that the seh could be even a kosher, even the smallest amount, the least value possible is permitted for pidyon petachama v'kama. How much is a kosher? Amar of Yosef afilu patruza bardanka. Even the small amount, Rashi says it's a seh kachash, a very small, weak seh. That's bardanka. Rashi says katan sheino shava elamea shehu shisus dinar, a 1/6 of a dinar, which is a very small amount of money. That's what a kosher means. So the Gemara then says, three lines down, Amar Rava Af Ananami Tanina. We also learned in a Mishnah, Gadol V'Katan, whether this says big, whether this says small, it's all permitted. So the Gemara says, Pshita, this is all obvious. Rashi explains what the Pshita is, that Pshita da Filu Pachuza, even a small seb works, because the Ha Kolshu Kama Rabbanan Leil. Rabbanan says, we say Kolshu. Kolshu means even the smallest amount. So of course, a Pachuza, a very small seb works. Why would you think otherwise? What's the Havamina? So the Gemara says, Mal desema kuli high low. No, that's too small. Koshu doesn't really mean a tiny speckle, a tiny set. It means a small set, but not a tiny set. So that's why the Gemara has to be clear that even these really scrawny sets work as well. But Inami, alternatively, Patruza low. Maybe Patruza shouldn't work. Rashi explains what's the difference here. Rashi says here, Kuliha Bardanka. If it's a Bardanka, the value is a Bardanka. Or Inami, Rashi says, Nihita katan yachalite neva Patruza shu kachosh low. I mean, the two days are either based on the value or based on the size of the seh. One of those two shouldn't work. Kamash Malam, we learned that no. We don't care what the value is. We don't care what the size of the seh is. Any type of seh works for pidyon peter chamor. The Gemara has a little maisa here. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Havilei Peter Chamer. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had a Peter Chamer born to his property, to his donkeys, and Shadri Lekame, he sent the donkey to Rabbi Tarfon just to ask a Shaila, or maybe just sent a Shaila to Rabbi Tarfon how much he should use to poda the Chamer. So Amalei Kama Be'ina Lemesa Lekarin. Whatever you want to give, it's up to you. Don't ask me a question, it's a kol shu. So they say, Amr Lei, Hari Amru, but doesn't it say, Haya, Ayin Yafe Besela, Ayin Ra Beshekel, Beinus Biragya? Don't we have different levels? Just like by Chuma, we have those who are very giving, those who are very generous, versus those who are very stingy, and those who are in the middle. So here as well, by the Seh, we have different levels here. We have Ayin Yafe, if you're very giving, you should give a Sela worth of a Seh. If you're very stingy, you should give a Shekel. And a Beinus, you should give an amount of a Ragya. We'll see the Ragya is just a moment. So Amar Rava Hilchas Baraga, we passing that person should Baraga, which is the Beinonis, the middle amount. The Kama, how much is that? Tlasa Zuze Ragil Hacha Ragil Hacha. It's a three Zuz. It's somewhere in the middle. It's less than a Sela, which is four Zuz. It's more than a Shekel, which is two Zuz. It's three Sela. That's the ideal amount a person should give. So Gemar Hilchasa Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa. There's a stira because we just said above a Kol Shu works. Now, Rabbi Tarfon's paskening the chamer, rather paskening that you should give a ragi, which is a certain amount. It's a three sela. So, which is it? Is it a three sela, or is it a koshu that's going to suffice for the pidyon peter chamer? And the Gemara says, Lokasha, there is no contradiction here at all. Kan biba limalech kan bosei me'asa. Depends, the person's coming to ask. He's coming to ask a shayla. If he's asking a shayla from a tarfon, so we recommend give a higher amount, give a beinonis. But the person is not asking a shayla, he's acting on his own, so then, b'dieva, whatever he gives, that's sufficient. Even a kol shu is sufficient. But certainly, l'chachil, a person should give, as prescribed by Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim, one should give a ragi, which is at least three sela. Look at Tosas, the Maskel of Hilchasa. Tosas writes Hilchasa Baragya. Bibaldi Malech Mokmi Le Shemur Shemor Leptoso. If he comes to ask, we advise him to be po de beseh Shavash Shlosha Zuzim. We tell him to give a three Zuz worth of seh. Ragil Hacha. About Biatma, if he acts on his own, Afil Bipachuzja Bazdank. Even a very small, skinny, scrawny, very low valued seh works. So he doesn't have a set to be poda, poda b'shavya afilu b'shalki. He could give you anything he wants that's worth the value. So that's how he passes bottom line, if it comes to pidyon peter chamer. Then Tosa adds just a very important point.
The value of the
chamer. No, b'shavya I think is the value of the set. Otherwise it would be shav.
But
no, you're right.
He doesn't have a set.
Right, you're right.
It has to be the value.
Correct. So then the Tosa writes, V'kad parik, when you do the pidyon, when you're poda from the chamor onto the seh, that's when you make a bracha mivarach al pidyon peter chamor. below b'shas nesina l'kohen. But you don't give it. You don't say a bracha rather when you're giving it to the kohen. D'me'idna d'afreshe b'shusei the kohen kai. We'll see later on the end of the daf today. So you say a bracha when you're doing the hafrasha, but when you're handing the set over to the kohen, there is no bracha at that point, because the moment you did the hafrasha, even though you're holding on to the set physically, it's halachically, legally, it's considered in the rishus of the kohen, and there's nothing in the scene is really considered meaningless. So therefore, you say the bracha b'shas pidyon. So the Gemara now says back inside, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Reish Lakish. Mi sheyesh lo peter chamer v'ein lo se leftoso. A person has a firstborn donkey and he has no set in order to redeem it on podeo b'shavio. He could take the value of the chamer and redeem it and give whatever value is to the kohen. Leman, the Gemara says, according to who does it hold like this? Who said you're allowed to pidyon b'shavio? So ilayma le Rabbi Yehuda ha amar pakpida hikpida lo tar b'seh. We learned a few days ago. Rabbi Yehuda says the Torah is makpid dafka neseh. And he doesn't hold of being poed to b'shavio, so it can't be shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Elo the Rabbi Shimon, it must be the shita Rabbi Shimon who allows one to be poed even b'shavio. So then the Gemara says, Rav Acha Masni Hachi, Ravina Kashile. So Rav Acha learned this way. Ravina had a kasha on this. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, where we have a machlokas between the two of them, had we paskin halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda? We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The stam lan k'Rabbi Yehuda, and we have a stam mishnah that holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you'd have to use a seh. That amr is halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, and you're paskin like Rabbi Shimon that you're allowed to use even the shavio to work. That goes against this klal that we had, that we always paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and then the stam mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda that only a seh works. So Gemara says, really the statement el afilu tamer Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda allows you to use the shavio to work. So lo ye chamor min ahektish. It doesn't make sense that a pidyon peter chamor should be any more severe than hektish. If a person has something that's a hektish, you're allowed to redeem it onto the value. So peter chamor shouldn't be any more stringent. So how come the Torah says seh? The only reason why the Torah says seh to make a leniency for you. What's a leniency? So Rashi explains here, if you choose to use a seh, you could use a really cheap seh. I mean, the donkey could be worth $500. If I've got a seh that's worth $50, I could actually use that. If I want to take the route of taking the shove of it, then I need to pay $500. So the seh happens to be a kula of the Torah, Rabbi Yehuda says. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say you can't use a shove. Of course you use a shove. It's just more an expensive route. That's how the Gemara understands this. Now, there's a very underlying point here, part of the lumdus of peter chamor, which is not really so much for now, but there's a broader understanding of how peter chamor works. Is peter chamor a davar hektesh, or is it a completely different type of din? There's a big discussion here. So the Gemara here seems to almost equate the lachas of a pidyon peter chamor to a davar hektesh, meaning how much does this peter chamor have kedusha to it itself? Now, you can't bring it as a carbon, not everybody agrees, because it's a behemoth temeah. But it might have intrinsic kedusha like that has hektish, you have to redeem the kedusha off it. Or, to view peter chamor as a davar chulin completely, there's just a requirement to give a seh. So the chamor is just simply a hecha timti to create a seh, or some matana to the kohen, but there is no intrinsic kedusha to the chamor itself. It's not like hektish. So that's part of the very important conversation. It's a subtle conversation, but comes out here based in the sugya, and the Rishonim talk about this as well in a very subtle way. Fine.
I mean, the fact that they learn from regular Rufa probably there is some kind of
hektish. There's a lot of back and forth between these things. There's halachas about, we learned in that sugi by Egla Rufa, when you sell it, about the halachas of selling it and whether the mamon takes on the tfisas kedusha or not of the actual peter chamor, so that connects to sugis of hektish as well. So it's a big discussion, the Rambam and the Ravid, it's a wonderful sugi, but this is just one of the rias here that it seems to be more of a hektish where there's some level of monetary intrinsic value to it.
So Raguda goes back on what he said before.
Exactly. Seh is just a kula. But of course you could use shavio if you wanted to. That's just a more expensive route to redeem the chamor. Rav Nachman, back in the Gemara now, around halfway down the narrow lines in Yud Aleph Amun Aleph, Rav Nachman Bered, Rav Yosef Parklei, Bishilka, Bishavio. He would use a shilka, which Rashi points out, is some type of cooked grass. He would use it, and he'd have the amount of grass that valued the peter chamor, and that's how he would do the pidyon. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Huna, Hapode Peter Chomer Shel Chavero, Pidono Padoi. You are allowed to actually redeem your friend's Peter Chomer. So your neighbor has a Peter Chomer born to him. You could take a Seh and transfer the Kedusha from the Chomer onto the Seh if one wanted to. Now Tosis points out here, very importantly, Hapode Peter Chomer Shel Chavero, Pidono Padoi. It works. The lo dami, it's not similar to the question that we have in Maseches Nedarim, l'torim mishalo al chaveiro. The Gemara has a shaila. If so, my friend has tevel, he has grapes that grew grapes for this season. And the question is, can I be torim on my grapes to exempt his grapes from the tevel? So there the Gemara says, Torim shelo al shechavero dibari lon beperek ein ben hamoder. This is a shaila in the Gemara Nedarim. Im tzarch das, if you need the das of the baal or not. He says there, the reason why there's a shaila of the hasan ksiv gamatem, also you, and the Gemara Darshans, both in the Darim and Maseches Kedushin as well, the rabbo shluchachem, even a shliach of the baal could do the truma. Uba'in and ma'atem ledaitchem, just like when the baal, you yourself do it, you're doing with das, af shluchachem, so to your agent have to do ledaitchem. But here, by Peter Chamor, there's no indication that you need to have the Baal and Dafka do it. It's not a din in the Gavra, it's a din in the Hefta, that the Peter Chamor must be redeemed by anybody who wants to. So therefore, there's no Shaila, so the Pidyon certainly does work if someone else is Podim by Peter Chamor. But the Shaila is, asks the Gemara, Ibar Lehu, Pidyono Lepoda, O Dilma Pidyono Lebailam. Who has the right to give the set? It's your Chamor, but I did the set. So I was poda your chamor. So could I give the set away? Or since it was really your chamor, you have the right to give the set to whichever kohen you want. So the Gemara says, who gets the right? So aliba the Rabbi Shimon lo tibay lecha. According to Rabbi Shimon, this is never a shaila. Why? Kevin damar muta bahana mamone debailimum. Since Rabbi Shimon understood.
I think the question is the chamor itself, not the set, right? According to parchment. Because there is a difference in price, in value also, I think.
Yeah. I don't think that would make
sense.
Ah, okay, you're right, yeah. Okay, yeah, very good. Okay, so the question, so I guess you could still raise the question, who gives the set, but the Gemara here is questioning who gets, after you redeem the Chamor, is it the owner, or is it the one who is poda? So Gemara says, Aliba, the Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, Shita, the lo tibay lecha, there's never a shayla. Since Rabbi Shimon holds, even prior to the pidyon, when the Peter Chamor is born to the Baal's property, the Baal is allowed to get hana. There's no isar hana on the Peter Chamor prior to the set, so therefore that shows that the Baal has complete ownership of the Peter Chamor, even though someone else may have done the pidyon, that that individual has no right to my Peter Chamor. The only shaila here is, ki debay lecha aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, damar asar ba'ana. So he says the Peter Chamor is aser b'hana so long as you haven't done the pidyon. So if I did the pidyon, I get to keep it. But if you did the pidyon on mine, maybe you should have the rights to my Peter Chamor. So the Gemara said, what's the shaila? Do we say that damar aser b'hana lehekdesh? Midamile? Do we compare Peter Chamor to hekdesh? That's the same question I raised before. How comparable is Peter Chamor to hekdesh? And therefore, Rachmana Amar, the Torah tells us, v'nosna kesev v'kamlo, that the one who gives a kesev gets to keep the hekdesh. So here too, as well, the one who gives a seh gets to keep the Peter Chamor, even though it wasn't born to my property. Oh, Dilma came into Kani Lei, b'beni b'beni, lo damil hekdesh. Or perhaps since you acquire the value in between, it's going to be owned by the Baal. What does that mean? Rashi explains here, O Dilma came into Kani Hai Peter Chamor Lebailim. Since the Peter Chamor is owned by the Baal to a certain extent, which means Lahai de Beni Beni, the Yachl of Dosu Baset. And my Chamor is worth $500 and the set is only worth $50, so there's a $450 difference that the Baal still gets a certain ownership to, and therefore maybe the Baal should get to keep it, even though my friend was poed it, it's still viewed as partially mine, and I get to keep the Peter Chamor. That's the Shiloh the Gemara race. So the Gemara said,
why is it different than Truma? If you take Truma for your friends, so he keeps everything. He doesn't. You don't, the Baal doesn't lose out.
Correct. No, but we said before, that was the toast to point out the difference already. You can't compare the two cases because the case of Truma requires Das. This, by Peter Chamor, doesn't require Das, so it seems to be that Peter Chamor is just a Dover Isser. Whoever is Poda is Poda.
Also, Truma, there is no value difference in value.
There is no. No, but the Hafrasha.
Here, when you Poda with a seh that's worth 50, a Chamor that's worth.
No, but you are also Truma also, because you only give 150th, you only give 2% of the value. Of the teva.
But he does it and he gives it and that's it.
Right, but here's what the seh, it says only $50 of the $500, let's say.
Right, so if he gives a $50 seh, can he keep the whole hammer, which is worth double or triple or five times more? In Truma, whatever you gave, and there is no gain in that.
So if the Baal, meaning there's always a difference by Truma. The Baal always has, there's always a baini baini by Truma. Meaning by a case of a chamor, in theory,
Truma, when somebody's Torah, the other one, you don't say that he's keeping the rest of the paper.
No, of course not. He wants to know why. But I'm saying the difference because
and
it's always...
Here you might be able to keep the difference in the value of the donkey.
Because it's more of a hektish. That's the Sharlo. But this whole Truma is a completely different case than the Petah Chamor, like Tosafot pointed out. So then the Gemara says, Amar, so what's the Shai? So are we, what's the answer? So are we saying it's like Hektish, and Hektish is considered really no man's land, no one owns it, and whoever is Podik gets to keep it? Or no, the Baal owns, even though right now he can't get enough from the Petah Chamor, the set that he's going to use to Pode is much less than the value of the Chamor itself, so there still is a current buy list that the Baal has in the Chamor, and you have the right, even though you did me a nice Tova, and you're Pode my Chamor, you have the right to take my Chamor away. So what's the answer? So Amar of Nachman Toshma Hagonev Petah Chamor Shel Chaveru Mishalim Tashlumi Kefal Lebaylim. A guy steals a Petah Chamor, he pays double to the Baal. V'yaf Al Pish Ein Lo Achshav. Even though right now the Baal doesn't have rights to the Petah Chamor because he hasn't yet been poded, it's still Aser Bana Yeshal Acher Mikan. After he will have it rights to it after the fact, and therefore even right now we view it as being the Baal's. So too, if someone else, my friend, was posing my Petah Chamor, even though ain't lo achshav, even though right now I've got no heter na, since I'll have it afterwards, that's considered already mine right now, and the Baal gets to keep the Chamor, not the one who was posed it. So Gemara wants no money. Who holds such a statement? Elamer Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon authored this last statement we just brought, that he has af of pish ain't lo achshav. That can't be. Am I ain't lo achshav? What do you mean ain't lo achshav? He's of course allowed to. Rabbi Shimon holds this mutter bar na even now. So of course there's full bailus right now. Elap Shita Rabbi Huda. Must be certainly Rabbi Huda Shita, that even though right now it's Aser Bana, since La'achar Mikana will be Mutar Bana, we view the Baal as being as the owner now, and he keeps it even though someone else did the pidyon. Now Gemara says, V'yishakadatecha, and have you thought that perhaps Petah Chamor is compared to Lehektesh, Medaminale, we would compare it to Hektesh, V'gonu mi'beis ha'ish ha'marachmanav lo mi'beis ha'hektesh, V'sulo midi. The Torah tells us that when does a ganav have to pay kefil? Only when he steals it from a base each, from a person's house. But if one steals it from the house of Hektish, there's a ptur paying kefil. So if you were to compare Petah Chamor to a case of Hektish, there should be a ptur of kefil as well. So from the fact that we say there's a chiv kefil by Petah Chamor, clearly indicates that Petah Chamor is not like Hektish, it's a different type of din. Okay. There's a very important Rabbeinu Gershom here. Remember about how to read the end of the Gemara here. Feel free to take a look at it. There's a nuance how he understands the end of the Gemara here. It's on the next page, at least in my Gemara. Okay, the Gemara now says last three, four narrow lines of the Amud here. Achas bichra, achas shel bichra. You have a case where two donkeys in his field. One was the firstborn mother, first time mother, and one was already a mother before it. So the question is, one had a Petah Chamor and one wasn't, but you weren't sure which one it was. So Gemara now quotes a braisa similar to the case where there's a safek of whether it's a chiyah Petah Chamor. Gemara wants to know, ketad amru nichnas ladir lisaser. So what's a case where you could have if a set was used for pidyon Petah Chamor, so then all the says were brought down in my, I've now 10 says, now doing meiser behema, there's a lacha meiser behema, which means every new animal is born to in my property, I need to take meiser behema. Every 10th animal I let go, walk through the gate, I stamp the 10th one, that's meiser behema, that's brought as a carbon, and the Baal gets to eat that carbon. So the Gemara wants to know, what's a case where I could use a set that was used for Petah Chamor? Can I use it now as part of my Maisa Behema or not? So Gemara says, you can, but what's the Heichatim? So what's the situation where it can be used? So Gemara says, yeah, Tayachal Omar, you can't say a set that was used for Petah Chamor, which was Bali De Kohen, that was given to the Kohen, that would require Petah Chamor, Maisa Behema. Let me explain. Let's say I have 10 Petah Chamor as my property, or it could be 10 different people, and all of us are pulled onto a set. And then we give the 10 sets to the Kohen. It's all the first year of this set. So now the Kohen's got 10 sets. They just received as Petah Chamor payment. So now he cannot take these sets and do a Maisa Behema from them. Why? So we're about to see the Gemara is going to tell us there's a special exemption that Maisa Behema, there's only a Chi Maisa Behema if it was born in my property. But if I gave it as a gift, or if I sold the set, then there's a Ptur Maisa Behema. So Gemara says, it can't be a case where 10 says were given to a Kohen, because those says are pater from Maisa Behema. Behema, as Gemara says, Sharei Shanini, we learn in the Mishnah, this is the last parak of Maseches Bechoros, Halakuach, a said that was bought, or Shanitein Lo B'matana, or that was given as a gift, and these were cases were given to a Kohen as a gift, they're pater mi Maisa Behema. So that cannot be a case where the seh of Petah Chamor was used as a Maisa Behema. Ella, where do you have such a case? Be Yisrael, Shehayu lo asara safek pitei chamorim besoch besa. So the Yisrael had a huge amount of donkeys and tons of bichras, low bichras, and they weren't sure which petach hamers were requiring petach hamer, which one didn't require. So what's halacha? Since they're all safek, we learned in the Mishnah, your mafish alein asara sa'in, he separates 10 sa'in to cover the 10 safek pidyon petach hamers, u'masrin v'hein shalom, and he can take ma'aser and he gets to keep them. We said before, whenever there's a case of a safek petach hamer, there's two halachas by pidyon petach hamer in general. There's a hafrasha, which removes the iser, and then there's a second stage of an asina giving it to the kohen. So whenever it comes to the safek iser, we have to machmir and do a hafrasha. When there's a safek in terms of nesina, that's a din of mamonos, we don't have to be machmir. We say leave it in status quo. Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. So if I have a safek petach hamer, so I take a seh, I mafresh the iser. Now who keeps the seh? Do I give it to the Kohen, or can I keep it? That's since it's a case of Mammon, the Kohen has to prove it, that's his, I get to keep it. So I've done Hafrasha, but I keep the set. So now I've got 10 Safek Petach Hamers, I separate onto 10 says, but I get to keep all 10, unless the Kohen proves it's his. And that's a case that I have 10 Soyin Petach Hamer that I would now have to go ahead and do Ma'aser Behem on them, because I never gave them away, I never sold them away, they're still in the initial person's property, and that's the scenario we're talking about. The Gemara says two wide lines down now, Misaile, this statement supports that which Rav Nachman, Dhamma Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, that he said, Yisrael Shehayu lo asara safek pitei chamorim. He had 10 questionable pitei chamorim. Mafir shalem asara sa'in. He has to separate 10 sa'in to remove the possible iser. Umas, and then he does a ma'aser behema, behein shalom, and he gets to keep them, and the Kohen can't take them unless he proves for sure that he knows that it was a vadai peter chamor. Gemara now quotes a similar case now. Another scenario where you could have 10 sa'in for pedion petach hamer that can then be used for ma'aser behema. And the Gemara explains as follows. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, a Yisrael, shayu lo asar petach hamer, vadoin, besoch besa. He has 10 vadai petach hamer that are in his property. However, he acquired them, shenaflu, mi beis avi imo Cohen. He acquired them from his grandfather, his mother, his maternal grandfather. That means, so his mother is a Bas Cohen, was a Bas Cohen. So his grandfather was a Cohen. So the Cohen had 10 pitre vade pitre chamorim that were then morish them to the grandson. And now that grandfather, that also Avia Imo, his maternal grandfather, who was a Kohen, Nafalo, he received it, Mibes Avi Imo, from his maternal grandfather, who was Yisrael. So there's, five generations we're going here. There's the initial grandfather, who was a Yisrael. And he had 10 Vade Pitechamom that required Pidyon. He didn't do Pidyon, he died. He was Morishit to his grandson, a Kohen. And that Kohen has to do a frush because it's an Isser, but that Kohen gets to keep it because he's a Kohen. But then that Kohen grandfather died and was Morisha to his grandson, so the grandson still has to do the Afrasha because the Isser still exists, but he gets to keep it because since he came from the grandfather Kohen, even though he himself isn't a Kohen, but it came from the grandfather Kohen, that great-great-grandchild gets to keep the Vadei Pitei Chamorim, the Seh, and then he would take Maestro on them. Everyone, yeah?
You have to do it that way because if the great grandfather wasn't an Israel, then automatically he would be exempted from the
house. Exactly,
the
right.
So exactly.
That's the whole limb. Exactly. So then the Gemara says, so again, also Avia Imo, Kari Nafl, mi base Avia Imo Yisrael, Mafrish Alein, Asara Sayin, he has to separate the 10 sum, Umasra, and then he takes Maisa Behema, Vehain Shalom, and he gets to keep them. Just look at Rashi just to make this all clear. The last Rashi in the page, Vehain Shalom. That which the grandfather, the Kohen, had to have separate the Kohen, the Hafrasha Seseb, to the Kohen HaMorish, Hayatarach LaHafrish, Alain Sayin, Lafgiya Kedusha, to remove the Kedusha, the Shechalol, and that fell upon them, Bibes Yisrael Rishon, from his grandfather who was a Yisrael, that Kedusha still existed. He said, but then after he's mafrished the onto the sen, nota sen liatma, the grandfather, the Kohen, gets to keep the sen for himself. Sharei who Kohen? He's the Kohen. He's the first address. Vein tarach lachsa achar Kohen. Doesn't have to find another Kohen. So Hachanami, the great-great-grandson, who's now a Yisrael, Hachanami, Osa Yisrael, Zeha Yorsha, the one who's Yorish at the end, the bottom generation, the Dami Kamisha Arishu Kohen Mesen. It's if the Kohen, the grandfather, as if he was Morish the Sayin to his grandson, he gets to keep them. So that's another case where you can have a 10 Sayin of Pidyon Petach Hamer that require Ma'aser Behema. Gemara now says back inside, Vamar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, Yisrael shayu lo tevalin mimurachin besoch beso. Yiv Yisrael, who has tevel, that is mimurachin, which means the final completion of leveling out the piles were complete, which means there's now a chiv of chumos and maisos. So now he has this whole pile of fruit in his property that he received from Shenaflu mibeis avi imo kohen, from his maternal grandfather who was a kohen. So that maternal grandfather received it from avi imo kohen naflu mibeis avi imo yisrael, from his maternal grandfather who was Yisrael. So the lach is, so it trickles down the same thing, right? The oldest grandfather, the great-great-grandfather, was Yisrael, chayv, and shumos maisos. But he didn't have a chance to be mafreshem, so he was morishit to his grandson, the kohen. That kohen now has to do a frasha because it came from the grandfather, and he would get to keep it, but he passed away, and he's morishit to his grandson, the Yisrael. So Yisrael has to be mafkia, the kedusha, because it came ultimately from initial Yisrael. And he gets to keep it for himself because he comes from the grandfather, the kohen. It's as if the grandfather, the kohen, is mafresh and gave the chumas and maisos. Now, of course, Yisrael can't eat chumas and maisos. He can't chuma. Chuma is asher to eat, but he's allowed to sell the chuma to a kohen and keep the profit for himself. The Gemara now says, where are we? Tzricha. So we see two very similar cases, one to the Vadei Pritei Chamorim, and one to the case of the Tevalim. So we could have learned one from the next. There's no need to learn both cases. They are very similar cases of the Yisrael Kohen to Yisrael. Gemara says Tzricha. We need to teach both scenarios of the Tevel and the Hafrashas Pidyon Petei Chamor. Why? Because the Ashmina, had we taught the case only Kamais of the first case of the Pidyon Petei Chamor, Mishum de Kamafish Vikai, since it's already standing, there's no real maisa that has to take place. You need a chamor, you need a seb, but there's no real maisa. It's just like a transfer, some like a virtual transfer of kedusha, but there's no real maisa. And therefore, since it's simpler to accomplish, therefore we could understand how the great-great-grandson gets to keep everything. Aval hacha, when it comes to the case of tevel, matano shelo hurmu, kimishelo hurmu damim, if you have tevel that have not been separated, if you have matanos, the chuma and maisos that are embedded in the tevel, which have not yet been exposed, have been created, and then it's a new maisa that's required. It's a more of an act that's needed to create that, in which case maybe the Yisrael was not moorish from the Kohen, because they didn't exist in the world. And therefore the Yisrael maybe would have to give away the chumas and maisos. Kamash Malami Paskin Emalo, and therefore we say no, the halach is that even though the Kohen, the grandfather, was there mafreshit, we view it as already ephes the chuma would create in the world, and as if he was moorish the chuma to the grandson as well. Viashmina and Hacha, had we taught the case of the Tevel only, Efshar Lasui Lasure Mineube Dhamanach. When it comes to the chuma to maisos, everything is there. The chumas and maisos is existing in that pile of fruit. You're not looking for some other place for it. So it's almost easier to accomplish, even though it requires a maisa of separating, but it's all there, it's all present. The chumas already exists in this world, or in that very location. V'hasim, by the case of Petei Chamor, kevan deseh ma'alma bar yasui, since you have to find the seh from some other location, it's not in the chamor, you need to get a seh from some other place. U'mafrish and duha hafrasha, even though that's not called a maisa, it's really called a transfer, v'kai eim alo, but since you require another item, another animal to accomplish the hafrashas of Pidyon Petei Chamor, maybe it wouldn't work. Maybe this is the great-grandson Yisrael should have to give the seh to a kohen. Tzricha, that even in that case, we view the seh as being in the possession of a kohen, even though he hadn't done the hafrashah yet, and the Yisrael gets to keep the seh of the Vadei Pritei Petei Chamor. Last line of the Amr, the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nasan, Amr Rabbi Chanina, Halokeach Tevalim Mimurachin, a person who purchases Tevel, that was Mimurachim that had completed the Maisa, now it's ready to do Afrashas Chumas and Maisos. Mina Ovid Kocham, he buys already evened out fruit from a goy. Maasun Vehen Shalo, he gets to take Maiser, and he gets to keep it for himself. So what's going on here? So the Gemara, first is a Rashi I think I wanted to see first. Rashi says here as well, he doesn't get to keep the chuma because he's only a czar. Yes. He gets to sell the chuma and he keeps the money. So the Gemara wants to know, who did the demarchinu man? Who did the marchinu? Who did the meruah? Who leveled out the fruit? Now that's chayv and chumas and maisos. Ilema demarchinu over kacham. You were telling me that a goy, he collected the grapes and he evened out the pile of grapes. Well, that doesn't make sense. There's no chayv and chumas and maisos there. The gan chamerachmana below dagan over kachavim. Only the gan, only a Yisrael owned dagan is required in Chumas and Maisos, not if it's owned by a goy. So that's Pashut. That can't be a case of Demarchinu Ovid Kochavim. Ela Demarchinu Yisrael may reshus Ovid Kochavim. The situation where Yisrael is working in the property of a guy, where the Yisrael was the one who leveled it out, he finished the whole Maisa. In that case, we're saying Dimasram. He does Maisa. There's a chi of Chumas and Maisas in this case. The guy does not have the right, even though he might legally own the land in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't halachically own the land, so he doesn't have the right to uproot any Kedusha. So therefore, if a Yid were to do the Marichinu, he did the final act of the Gemar Malacha, it's Chayv and Chumas and Maisas. So that's why he does a hafrasha. But why does he get to keep it? What?
It's an aris, because otherwise it would be even not even have it been a right?
It's, I mean, it's what he said.
Meaning he has a deal that he gets to...
Oh, an aris, yeah. The aris. That the guy
because
owns the land.
That's working for the guy, also there's like not even like a shaykhus of... has to be an aris or something.
It has some level of bias to it.
Right, it needs to have, otherwise there would be not even have a meaning.
And you're saying if it's just Tama Poel,
right,
wouldn't work?
The same as the previous case.
I know Rashi does say Aris, but I don't know, I'm not sure why he has to have ownership. If we're saying that Goy doesn't have the right to be Mafkia.
But even then, the two is not his.
No, but he was given the permission to do it, though. The Goy hired him to work on it.
Right, but so what? He doesn't...
Who said that he has to own it? Who says he has to have ownership to create the...
He says the Gansha.
But that's going on the Maisa Meruach, though. I think, but it could be. But you're right, Rashi does say Aris. So afterwards, we may have to take a look, see what they say, if anything different here. Apparently, the Tosis talks about this with Rashi. There's a long Tosis. He goes against Rashi who says Aris. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure exactly. It could be this point that they're going on. Okay, so it's a decent-sized Rashi. Tosos. Okay. So then the Gemara says, so that's why they have to do a hafrasha, because again, ein kinin lo v'kochavim beret yisrael lafkiya miyad meiser. V'henshela, how come he gets to keep it, though? How come the Yid can keep it? Shouldn't he have to give the chubas and meisers to the Kohen? He gets to keep it and sell it to the Kohen? Gemara explains, v'henshela, damar le, kasina mekach gavir delo matis eshtuya dina ba'adeh. Because I come from a goy, I'm working for a goy, and him, you can't take him to court. You have no right to take him from a halachic standpoint, from a monetary standpoint, you have no right to claim from him. And therefore, the Yisrael worker is only an extension of a goy, and just like you can't, again, take him to court, you can't take me to court, and I, therefore, have the right to sell it for a profit.
Seems like he's buying it here. So says the Jew who buys the grain from the goy is exempt.
The Jew who buys it, didn't say buying it, but that could be the case of the Aris, that he has some level of ownership, he has a right to keep it. That could be maybe the point. If he's a Poel, he doesn't have the right to keep it. Then
right.
From
it
the
has to be either he buys it or it's an Aris, he cannot be...
Right, he has to have some ownership to it. Otherwise, I guess he can't sell it just from a monetary standpoint. That would be stealing from the goy. That's probably what it is. So then the Gemara says, Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us, Hamafkid, Perosov, this is the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Demai. Hamafkid, Perosov, Eitel Akusi, Eitel Am Haaretz, Bechaskasan, Lamaisa, Lushvius. Let's say you gave some fruit for a Kusi or an Am Haaretz to watch over for you, as a Pikadam, and you left it over, it was Maisa you gave to him, or it was the year of Shemitah. We're not choshes that he's going to switch around and give you the opposite. He's going to give you chulin instead. He'll give you shvis or meiser. We trust that everything that you left was exactly what you're returning back from. You're going to get back from him. However, kiperosav. Let's say you gave something for the goy to watch over. Then we assume vada he switched everything, and it was, let's say, the year shemitah. You gave him chulin, and you picked up the fruit you left by his house. You have to assume it's a din of shemitah now. You have to assume it's a din of maishah now. All these different dinim, we don't trust him. He's going to keep everything the same. So the Gemara says. Let's say you were mafish mice already, and you gave him chulin food. We assume he switched it with food that's tevel, and you have to now take mice a second time when you retrieve the fruits back from the goy. So Gemara says that's all the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Omer Demai. We don't say vadai that the goy switched it. It's a suffik, a very strong suffik, but you don't vadai, so it's demai. And the lach of demai is that it's a suffik, and therefore you get to separate it, but you don't have to give it away. You could keep it. So Amar Rebbe Lazar lahafrish kli amalo pligi. When it comes to hafrasha, no one argues. Everybody agrees. You have to do hafrasha on the food you get back from the guy. That's vada. Why? because we're concerned either he vadly switched it, or even if a safek switched it, because of a safek, you have to remove any iser. So there's certainly afrasha necessary when you retrieve the fruit from the goy. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Lit no la kohen. Do you have to give now the meiser, the chuma to the kohen or not? Tanakama saver vadri chafinu. The Tanakama holds for sure the goy switched it, and you vadri have tevel, you vadri have to therefore give to the kohen, ubay misnayu la kohen. Rabbi Shimon Savar Demai, who it's only a Demai, it's only a Safek, and therefore you have to do a Afrasha, but you could keep it to yourself and sell it to a Kohen and keep the money. So Yossi Rav Dimi was once sitting, the Kamer Lashmais, who's learning through the Sugya, Amalei Abaye says, time with the Masafkalan, only because there's a doubt, Ichalfinu, Ilo Chalfinu, whether or not he switched or not switched it, Ha Vade Chalfinu. But if the Goy, Vade switched around, the Chulyama, by Lemisfe, the Kohen, everybody would agree that you would certainly have to give it to a Kohen. So the Gemara says, wait a second, this is coming from the property of a goy. You're telling me the food of the goy has to be given to the kohen, it has to require hafrasha? V'hamar Rabbi Shmuel bar Amar Rabbi Chanina halokeach tvalam mina ovi kochavim mimurachan masim vein shalom. We said above that if you're going to buy grains from a goy, and they're mimurachan, and they're prepared for tevel, you have to take maaser, but you get to keep it for yourself. We just said above, the only reason why you perhaps could keep it by the Mishnah in Maseches Demai is because it's a Demai case. But if you know for sure the guy switched it, then you have to take Chuma and vow they give it to the Kohen. But we just said above, if it comes from the property of a Kohen, of a guy, you do have Frasha, but you can keep it to yourself. So you're keeping it to yourself, or you give it to the Kohen when it comes from a guy. That's the Kasha. And the Gemara says, Dilma, perhaps we could say, Kan b'tshuma gadola, kan b'tshumas meiser. Maybe there's a difference between what type of tshuma we're talking about. If it's talking about tshumas gadola, so then we say, since it's a chiv kares, a chiv misa rather, when we eat tshuma gadola, we take it more seriously, make sure you give it to the Kohen. But tshumas meiser, which is the tenth of a tenth, right? What happens is the Levi gets meiser rishon. And if the meiser rishon, the Levi takes another meiser, gives it to the Kohen, that's called tshumas meiser, there's no chiv misa involved there, so therefore we can be mekel and he gets to keep it. So maybe that's the distinction between tshuma gadola, tshuma gadol you give to a Kohen, and Shumas Meiser you could keep to yourself. So when they're having this conversation, as Karasin Mil Sadamer, he remembered, he was reminded of a statement that once, I remember Shuman Levi, he once said, he said, Minayin lelokeach tval mimimurachin minaovi kachavim shupatim mishumas Meiser. How do I know that one who buys tevel from a goy is parted from giving Shumas Meiser? Shinamar, it says in the pasuk, there's a pasuk that appears in, I think, Korach, Ve'alevim tedaber, speak to the Levim, v'amar telem, you should say to them, ki sikhu me'es b'nei Yisrael, when you buy from b'nei Yisrael. So what we, and it goes on to talk about Meiser and Truma. So what's the drasha? Tevolim sha'ata lokeach m'b'nei Yisrael ata mafrish mehen, Truma's Meiser, v'nosin lekohen. Only that which you purchase from a Jew are you chayav to be mafrish, and you chayav to give Truma's Meiser. However, tevolim sha'ata lokeach min ha'ovid kochavim, if you're buying from the goyim, i'ata mafrish mi'en shumas meiser, v'nos lakon there, you don't have to give, and you're part of giving shumas meiser. Because again, the pasuk says, ki sikhu me'es b'nei Yisrael, only when you buy from a b'nei Yisrael, the chayv in shumas meiser. But that which is bought from an ovid kochavim is in fact pater from shumos and meisos. Gemara now says at the end, the finishing off the daf here, v'meis nenin bo. The Mishnah taught us that let's say after separating the seh for the pidyon petach hamor, the seh dies, the lach is allowed to get hana from this seh. So Gemara wants to know, demes hecha, when exactly did this animal die? If you're going to tell me, ilema demes be kohen, if it was already given to the kohen, and the seh died in the house of the kohen, and we're saying nana ba kohen, the kohen could get hana from the seh, pshita, of course. Mamona didehu. Once you gave the seh to the kohen, it's completely his. What's the half a minute to think you can't get hana from the seh? That's too obvious. Ella, the meis bei bailam v'nena b'kohen. It must be where the baal was mafresh the chamor onto the seh. But he hadn't yet given it to the kohen, so it's still in the possession of the baal. So there we say, if the seh dies in the house of the baal, the kohen's allowed to come in and get hana from this. The chiddush would seem to be, because even though it wasn't yet given to the kohen could still get hana from it. Well, so this is also pshita, this is also obvious. Gemara says no. I would have thought, I would think so long as you haven't given the set to the Kohen, the Kohen has no rights to it, and therefore he can't get hana from it either. The halach is, we paskin at the end, that the moment you do hafrasha, it's already considered in the rishus of the kohen, and therefore the kohen has rights to get hanah from it, even though it was never actually handed over to him. So this is the raya that Tosfos brought in Amud Aleph, that how can we say the bracha during shas hafrasha and not during shas nesina? Because the Gemara here says, the moment you did hafrasha, it's already considered in the possession of the kohen, and it's too late to say the bracha after that point. Okay, we'll stop here, Mr. Shem, we'll continue tomorrow.